Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Angels had a haircut. Looks good. Wonderful. Well, we're doing Parasha 15, and if we advance a slide, please, Ruben, and press the... Let me see. Well, anyway, we're doing Parasha 15, Bo, which means come, and Minister Tamar will be doing the drash, but for now, we can... Well, it is Shabbat, so... Let's sing, it's Shabbat.
It is Shabbat, thank the Lord. It is Shabbat, thank the Lord. It is Shabbat, thank the Lord. It is Shabbat. It is Shabbat, thank the Lord. It is Shabbat, thank the Lord. It is Shabbat.
House of the Lord, run to this peaceful King. up to the Lord. Come and flow up to the mountain, he will teach us his way. Come and flow up to the mountain, come and flow up to the Lord. Come and flow up to the mountain, he will teach us his way.
Shemo Bethrumi Yom Leyom Yeshua Tov. Shiru Ladonai Shir Hadash. Shiru Ladonai Shir Hadash. Shiru Ladonai Kol Ha'aretz. Adonai Shir Hadash. Shiru Ladonai Kol Ha'aretz. Shiru Ladonai Baruch Shemo. Bethru Meyom Leyom Yeshuato. Shiru Ladonai Shir Hadash.
Sing to the Lord. Sing a new song. Oh, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, sing a new song. Bless His name and proclaim from day to day His salvation.
Shiru Ladonai Shir Hadash. Shiru Ladonai Kol Ha'aretz. Shiru Ladonai Shir Hadash. Oh, Shiru Ladonai Kol Ha'aretz. Shiru Ladonai Baruch Shemo. Bethru Meyom Leyom Yeshua To. Shiru Ladonai Shir Hadash. Shiru Ladonai Baruch Shemo. Bethru Meyom Leyom Yeshua To. Shiru Ladonai Shir Hadash. Shiru Ladonai Shir Hadash. Shir
you are the Holy One, by the exalted. Who will hold me today? mediator between Yehovah and humanity.
I don't know, I'm not here.
Yeshua the Messiah, him.
Start again?
Start again.
Okay, for Yehovah is one, and there is one mediator between Yehovah and humanity, Yeshua the Messiah. It's okay, they're all new at this.
Just turn the music volume down. That's it.
You're right. Third time proves it. Everyone, please bear with them. They are brand new at it. You've got to give them a length. Yehovah is one, and there is one mediator between Yehovah and humanity, Yeshua the Messiah, himself human, who gave himself as a ransom on behalf of us all, thus providing testimony to Yehovah's purpose at just the right time. So let's declare our unity in him by singing the Shema.
Shema Yisrael, Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod Malakuto Leolam Vayed.
Hear, O Israel, Yehovah Elohim, Yehovah is one. Blessed be his name. His glorious kingdom is forever and ever. Amen.
Ve'ahavta et Yehovah Eloheka, b'kol levav ha'uvakol nafshecha uvakol me'odecha.
And you shall love Yehovah your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And Yeshua said, love your neighbor as yourself. All the Torah and the prophets are dependent on these two mitzvot.
Yehovah hu Yeshua HaMashiach,
Yeshua the Messiah, he is Lord. Amen.
Please be seated. Well, welcome everyone, especially for you that have arrived into the room today, although we don't have many. We, you know, really appreciate you coming. Also to all those watching online, and we know we've probably got a lot today with so many people that have had contact with COVID contacts. And for that reason, we will not be meeting for the next 4 weeks, but doing live stream from home, because it's just too difficult when you don't have the right people to do the setups, to put the set downs, to run the sound desk and things like that. It's too much burden on those that are trying to do it for the first time. And so we're going to run it from home for the next 4 weeks, like we did when we were locked down previously. Hence, that'll keep everyone safe, because you don't know, the contacts of the contacts is what's causing the biggest problem. Although we do have one family that's had COVID in the family, the rest of the family are well, and even though they've been living in the household, haven't contracted it to this stage, to my knowledge. So it will spread. We will all get it, no doubt. And then we'll have herd immunity and we'll be over and done with it. So I'd like to welcome each and everyone that's watching online, especially those overseas. We've got Kathy in California, Minister Ellie Shaver in Trinidad Tobago, to Michelle and Joshua in South Carolina, Brenda and Kevin in Pilgrim, Kentucky, Victoria in Qatar, and Kathleen in Kentucky. Also Michael and his family in Florida, welcome to you. To Heather from Perth, welcome to you. To Annette, Chris, Michael, Diana and family, Jan, Betty and Stephen in Adelaide. Also to Katrina, watching from Port Pirie. To Lucia in Victoria. To Ivan and Lucas in Victoria. To Lyndon, Leah and family in Bega. To Jan in Sydney. Kerry and David in Maxville. Sue in Maxville. Deborah in Casino. Now Ivy, Rachel, Malachi, Micah, Gabriel and Zambia in Bonalbo. And to Queensland, we've got Roseanne, Bonnie and Rafia, to Emma in Gladstone, Stacey in Gatton, Judith in Ipswich, Joanna at Sandstone Point, Hinani in Sandor and Fernvale, Cheryl and Colin from Maidenwell, to Vivian, Dayan and Daniel at Scarborough, to Melody in Sandgate, Jo, Lonya, Yoli, Amina and Ella at Kalanga, Carol and Nick in Brisbane, Harry in Brisbane, Philip in Brisbane, Haley in Brisbane, Ingrid in Brisbane. to Usha, Isabel, Angie and Jacob in Brisbane, to Jeremy in Brisbane, Richard on Russell Island, Donna Canubia, Kelly in Beanley, Wendy and Peter in Logan, to Shana and Michaela in Jimboomba, Tracy in Upper Coomera, to Daryl, Rona, Shana, David, Isaac, Connor, Faith and Gabriella at Coomera, to Naomi at Oxenford, Irene at Talai, Jeff at Surface, Marianne, Faye, Carol, Erica, Melissa, Joy, Raywin here on the Gold Coast, to Raquel here on the Gold Coast. I know I could probably go on for a lot more, but we won't. We will stop there. To Shirley and Matt and Leah and to Andre and Yoli. There's just so many more I could be saying hello to, and I'm sure you're there watching online. So please have a blessed Shabbat, and we hope you enjoy the service. Can we have the children out, please, to bless the children? Abba Father, we thank you and praise you for our children. We pray that you make the boys like Ephraim and Menashe, that you'll give them the dew from heaven, the richness of this earth and everything they need in abundance. We lift up the girls to you, Abba, and pray that you make them like Sarah, Rivka, Raquel and Leah, that they'll be blessed in every area of their lives, they'll delight on your Torah and meditate on it day and night. Abba, we pray for each and every one of these children, they will become like trees planted by streams. They'll bear their fruit in its season, their leaves will never wither, and everything they do will lead to success. Let us pray together. Heavenly Abba, preserve these children for their fathers and their mothers. May they be led into a life of obedience and faith through the care of Ahashalakim. Blessed are you, Yar of Avraham, Yitzhak and Yaakov, who watches over these precious children of your servants. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Bless you, children. Now, the men's dinner was cancelled on Thursday night because, once again, COVID contact cases, which prevented quite a few from going. So they'll try again next month. Ladies' morning tea, we're probably... don't know yet what we're doing. If we do have it, it'll be on the 20th of January at my place. And the address is in the newsletter. And I will provide the morning tea just so that we can get together. If school isn't open, that might give everyone a chance of being there before school opens up, but we don't know what's happening with schools anyway at this stage, as they're suggesting that they won't open for the first 2 weeks. The Myanmar orphans, I haven't heard from them this week, but I have heard from a secondary source that the church family that the Myanmar orphans stayed with in the jungle when they escaped to the jungle. Now, that jungle family, the whole church and the family of their, all those, that church family, 40 of them, are now staying in the orphanage. So I've heard this second-hand source. I haven't heard from Pastor John himself this week. So we'll have to look at seeing if we can send them more money for food, etc., if they've got to feed another 40 mouths. So we'll be looking at that through the week. So please keep them uplifted in prayer, and we will try and do that for them this week, and I'll try and contact Pastor John this week as well. The biblical dates for this year so far, we're looking at the first biblical day of the new biblical year will be on the 3rd of April. We will have a Dar 1 and a Dar 2 this year, which will be a 13-month year, which means Passover will be on sundown, the 16th of April, which is a Shabbat. We've done it on Shabbat before, but it's hard. to do it on Shabbat, but that's what we're looking at this stage. So we'll wait until we see that everything's ripe in Israel before we announce when our month will be. But I cannot see the first biblical month starting in March, because it'll have to start before the equinox, and it never starts before the equinox. At this stage, when we look at the calendar dates and when the barley will be ripe and at Aviv in Israel, our dates of Pesach and even Yom Kippur, Hanukkah in 2022 will line up with Easter and Christmas. And that will be, they'll line up exactly with the same weekends as that. So I'll keep you posted. We've got till April before we see the new moon, the ripened barley and the new moon. Information out of the letter, the newsletter this week. The Queensland Health Chief Health Officer believes that the Omicron wave creates immunity as cases surge. Many, including our own, are in lockdown because of the close contacts, with only one that I know of actually having the variant. Now, there's a couple of items in here on the Omicron variant explained. It is the nature of viruses to mutate but become less virulent. So you can catch them, but they don't cause the damage that the original virus does as they mutate. And to our knowledge, there's no deaths been reported. The deaths we hear could have been caused by something else and dying with COVID, not from COVID. And we've got to be careful, because most of the deaths reported throughout this whole 2 years have been deaths with COVID, not from COVID. They're mostly people that have been tested positive after they've got into the hospital. They don't go into the hospital with COVID. They go in with something else. Could be pneumonia because of old age. Could be all sorts of things, even car accidents, bicycle accidents, and yet they're classed as dying from COVID when they have huge comorbidities or have been caused by something else, but they tested positive. The World Health Council of Health calls for an immediate cease and desist of the COVID experimental vaccines, which is good, because that's exactly what they are. They are experimental. MRA injections have never been given before, and they're based on the DNA of aborted fetuses. So, you know, it is not good for the body, because they've no idea what damage it will cause down the track, although we do know that it is causing a lowered immune system in a lot of people that are getting it, and especially the young. So many young men have had heart attacks because of it. Also, the World Council of Health calls for treatment guidelines with a practical approach to COVID, and we put those guidelines in the newsletter for you. You can download that offline or whatever, stick it on your fridge, of what you can, adult dosing chart for at-home treatment of COVID. And can I recommend that if you do get it, which is highly probable that we all will at this stage, don't go to the hospital. Make sure that you can get hold of these other products that you can get online now. So that if you end up in hospital, they don't put you on remdesivir, and it's remdesivir that shuts down all your organs. That puts you onto the ventilator, and then, of course, you don't survive. It's remdesivir that makes your kidneys collapse and everything else. So it just then floods the system with water. So it's not the treatment that they are given the hospitals is not conducive to healing. So please, I'm only telling you what I know from a fact. I'm not making any of this up. So please look at the chart and use the chart. And you probably only have mild cases and therefore you can be treated at home, like most people have. Both my grandsons have been treated at home, and other people have been treated at home that I know of that have had it. So let us pray for people's Yah's people, Israel. And that doesn't mean the state of Israel only. It means all of those connected to Israel through Yeshua, our Messiah. Abba, Father, we thank you that you are Yehovah Zevaot, the Lord Yah of hosts. And as believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, we lift up our brothers and sisters to you this day, no matter where they might be in the diaspora or at Israel. Abba, you faithfully preserved your people Israel through so many tribulations, whether it's from captivity in Egypt, Babylon, right through to this very day, and the plague that is overtaking our nation. Abba, whenever your people have called on your name, you have delivered them. Violence has been perpetrated through terrorist attacks in the diaspora, especially in Myanmar, and in your promised land. Abba, we cry out to you for your protection of all your people through these conflicts, and we ask, Abba Father, that you will remember your covenant with your people. We know from your word in Yekezkel that your people will live in the land which you promised your servant Yaakov, that they'll live in complete security and safety. And Abba, we know that this also applies to the lands your people have been dispersed into at this time, and we claim this word for them today as well. Abba, we pray for your healing power to be on those suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, caused in any way by the terror in which they live in daily, especially those in the Holy Land and those affected from many wars that your people in the diaspora have been called up to in the Middle East over the past 20 years. Abba, we also pray for the salvation of our brothers and sisters, no matter where in the world they may be living. Your word tells us that you want none to perish, and we know from your word in Yekezkel that you take no pleasure in the wicked person dying, but take pleasure in them turning from their wicked ways, humbling themselves, repenting of their sins, and making that 180-degree turn towards you and obedience to your Torah. And we claim that for them today. Abba, we pray that you'll send your Ruach HaKodesh to have an encounter with them. This is the only way that you can heal them and bring peace to your promised land. Abba, we know that it is your plan for all of your promised land, from the Euphrates River to the Valley of Egypt, to be restored. Your word says your people will live in the land you gave their ancestors, that you will be the Elohim and they will be your people. And we know, Abba, that it is your plan for all of your people, Israel, to be called to your promised land in your perfect timing. And we pray against the agenda of mankind to cause people to go there under man's will and not yours. Abba, we pull down the strongholds of the enemy through anti-Semitism, which is increasing in the diaspora, and we pray for the protection of all your people, no matter where they live on this earth. We pull down the strongholds of the enemy over your holy land. We ask that you break the power of the Iran leaders, Hamas, Fatah, Hezbollah, the Muslim Brotherhood, as well as Al-Qaeda operatives. And we break the power of the evil one who continues to work at wiping Israel and your people off the map. Abba, we lift up Pastor John and his family of orphans through his ministry of Adonai Child Rehabilitation in Kalamayo, Selangor District of Myanmar. We thank you that Pastor John and his wife and family and all 16 orphans are safe. And we thank you, Abba Father, for the other 40 church members that have come in from the jungles. And we pray that you'll be with them and pray that they will also worship with you on Shabbat. We pray, Abba, for their continued protection, for their health and for all their sustenance needs to be met. We know, Abba Father, that their situation at this time is dire. We pray for normalcy to return to their country very soon. We also ask that you be with them to nurture and protect them. And Abba, we ask that you will just give them the assurance that no weapon formed against them will prosper, that you are in complete control. We ask this in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Adonai and our Saviour, who is the light of the world. Amen. Well, today we'll be reading from Parashah 15, Bo. Now, Bo can mean come and it can also mean go. That's the beauty of the Hebrew language. You've got to be able to read it in context to know whether it's meaning come or go. We'll be reading from Shemot, Exodus chapter 10, verse 1 to chapter 13, verse 16. The Haftarah, the prophets, which was read in the diaspora and in the when they were excommunicated from the Holy Land, from Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah 46:13-28, and the Ketuvah HaShelekim, the writings of the apostles. We'll be reading from Luke 2:22-24, Yochanan and John chapter 19:31-37, Acts 13:16-17, Revelations 8:6-9:12, and Revelation 16:1-21. So let us pray for Yah's word. Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech Ha'alam Heh B'Kabanu Mikal Ha'amin V'Natanenu Et Torato. Baruch Atah Yehovah Natein HaTorah B'Shem Yeshua Mashikenu Ha'or La'alam. Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the Universe, who has chosen us from all people and given us the Torah. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen.
Exodus 10:1-13:16. Yehovah said to Moshe, "Go to Pharaoh, for I have made him and his servants hard-hearted, so that I can demonstrate these signs of mine among them, so that you can tell your son and your grandson about what I did to Egypt and about my signs that I demonstrated among them, and so that you will all know that I am Yehovah." Moshe and Aharon went into Pharaoh and said to him, "Here is what Yehovah Elohim of the Hebrews says. How much longer will you refuse to submit to me? Let my people go so that they can worship me. Otherwise, if you refuse to let my people go, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory. One won't be able to see the ground. So completely will the locusts cover it. They will eat anything you still have that escaped the hail, including every tree you have growing in the field. They will fill your houses and those of your servants and of all the Egyptians. It will be like nothing your fathers or their fathers have ever seen since the day they were born until today." Then he turned his back and left. Pharaoh's servants said to him, "How much longer must this fellow be a snare for us? Let the people go and worship Yehovah, their Elohim. Don't you understand yet that Egypt is being destroyed?" So Moshe and Aharon were brought to Pharaoh again, and he said to them, "Go worship Yehovah, your Elohim, But who exactly is going? Moshe answered, We will go with our young and our old, our sons and our daughters, and we will go with our flocks and herds, for we must celebrate a feast to Jehovah. Pharaoh said to them, Jehovah certainly will be with you if I ever let you go with your children. It's clear that you are up to no good. Nothing doing. Just the men among you may go and worship Jehovah. That's what you want, isn't it? And they were driven out of Pharaoh's presence. Jehovah said to Moshe, Reach out your hand over the land of Egypt, so that locusts will invade the land and eat every plant that the harlots left. Moshe reached out with his staff over the land of Egypt, and Jehovah caused an east wind to blow on the land all day and all night. And in the morning the east wind brought the locusts. The locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and settled throughout Egypt's territory. It was an invasion more severe than there had ever been before or will ever be again. They completely covered the ground so that the ground looked black. They ate every plant growing from the ground and all the fruit of the trees left by the hail. Not one green thing remained, not a tree and not a plant in the field in all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh hurried to summon Moshe and Aharon and said, I have sinned against Jehovah your Elohim and against you. Now therefore, please forgive my sin just this once and intercede with Jehovah your Elohim so that he will at least take away from me this deadly plague. He went out from Pharaoh and interceded with Jehovah. Jehovah reversed the wind and made it blow very strongly from the west. It took up the locusts and drove them into the Red Sea. Not one locust remained on Egyptian soil, but Jehovah made Pharaoh hard-hearted, and he didn't let the people of Israel go. Jehovah said to Moshe, Reach out your hand toward the sky, and there will be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness so thick it can be felt. Moshe reached out his hand towards the sky, and there was a thick darkness in the entire land of Egypt for 3 days. People couldn't see each other, and no one went anywhere for 3 days. But all the people of Israel had light in their homes.
Pharaoh summoned Moshe and said, Go worship Yehovah, only leave your flocks and herds behind. Your children may go with you. Moshe answered, You must also see to it that we have sacrifices and burnt offerings, so that when we can sacrifice to Yehovah our Elohim, our livestock will also go with us. Not a hoof will be left behind, because we must choose some of them to worship Yehovah our Elohim. And we don't know which ones we need to worship Yehovah until we get there. But Yehovah made Pharaoh hard-hearted, and he would not let them go. Pharaoh said to them, Get away from me. You had better not see my face again, because the day you see my face, you will die. Moshe answered, Well spoken, I will see your face no more. Yehovah said to Moshe, I am going to bring still one more plague on Pharaoh in Egypt, and after that he will let you leave here. When he does let you go, he will throw you out completely. Now tell the people that every man is to speak to his neighbor and every woman her neighbor for gold and silver jewelry. Yehovah made the Egyptians favorably disposed to gather the people. Moreover, Moshe was regarded to Pharaoh's servants as the people as a very great man in the land of Egypt.
Moshe said, Here is what Yehovah says. About midnight I will go into Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt will die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh sitting on the throne to the firstborn of the slave girl at the handmill, and all the firstborn of the livestock. There will be horrendous wailing throughout all the land of Egypt. There has never been another like it, and there never will be again. Not even a dog's growl will be heard against any of the people of Israel, neither against the people nor against animals. In this way you will realize that Yehovah distinguishes between Egyptians and Israel. All your servants will come down to me, prostrate themselves before me, and say, Get out, you and all the people who follow you, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in the heat of anger. Yehovah said to Moshe, Pharaoh will not listen to you, so that still more of my wonders will be shown in the land of Egypt. Moshe and Aharon did all those wonders before Pharaoh, but Yehovah had made Pharaoh hard-hearted, and he didn't let the people of Israel leave his land. Yehovah spoke to Moshe and Aharon in the land of Egypt. He said, You are to begin your calendar year with this month. It will be the first month of year for you. Speak to all the assembly of Israel and say, On the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb or a kid for his family, one per household. Except that if the household is too small for a whole lamb or kid, then he and his next door neighbor should share one, dividing it in proportion to the number of people eating it. Your animal must be without defect, a male in its first year, but you may choose it from either the sheep or the goats. You are to keep it until the 14th day of the month, and then the entire assembly of the community of Israel will slaughter it at evening. They are to take some of the blood and smear it on the two sides and the top of the door frame at the entrance of the house which they eat it. That night they are to eat the meat, roasted in the fire. They are to eat it with matzah and maror. Don't eat it raw or boiled, but roasted in the fire, with its head and lower parts of its legs and its inner organs. Let nothing of it remain till morning. If any of it does remain, burn it up completely. Here is how you are to eat it. With your belt fastened, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you are to eat it hurriedly. It is at Yehovah's Pesach, or Passover. For that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and kill all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and animals. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt. I am Yehovah. The blood will serve you as a sign marking the houses where you are. Where I see the blood, I will pass over. Hebrew Pesach. When I strike over the land of Egypt, the death blow will not strike you. This will be the day for you to remember and celebrate as a festival to Yehovah. From generation to generation, you are to celebrate it by perpetual regulation. For 7 days you are to eat matzah. On the first day, remove the leaven from your houses, and whoever eats matzah, that is leavened bread, from the first of the seventh day is to be cut off from Israel. On the first and seventh days you are to have an assembly set aside for Elohim. On these days no work is to be done, except what must be done to prepare his food. You must only do that. You are to observe the festival of Matzah, for on this very day I brought your divisions out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you are to observe this day from generation to generation by a perpetual regulation. from the evening of the 14th day of the first month until the evening of the 21st day, you are to eat matzah. During this 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses. Whoever eats food with chametz in it is to be cut off from the community of Israel. It doesn't matter whether he is a foreigner or a citizen in the land. Eat nothing with chametz in it. Wherever you live, eat matzah.
Then Moshe called for all the leaders of Israel and said, Select and take lambs for your families, and slaughter the Pesach lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop leaves and dip it in the blood. It is in the basin, and smear it on the two sides of the top of the door frame. Then none of you is to go out of the door of his house until morning, for Yehovah will pass through and kill the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on top and on the two sides, Yehovah will pass over the door and will not allow the slaughterer to enter your houses and kill you. You are to observe this as a law, you and your descendants forever. When you come to the land which Yehovah will give you, as he has promised, you are to observe this ceremony. When your children ask you, What do you mean by this ceremony? Say, It is a sacrifice of Yehovah's Pesach Passover, because Yehovah passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he killed the Egyptians and spared our houses. The people of Israel bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the people of Israel went and did as Yehovah had ordered Moshe and Aaron. That is what they did. At midnight, Yehovah killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh sitting on his throne to the firstborn of the prisoner in the dungeon, and all of the firstborn livestock. Pharaoh got up in the night, he, all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was horrendous wailing in Egypt, for there wasn't a single house without someone dead in it. He summoned Moshe and Aaron by night and said, Up and leave, my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go serve Yehovah as you said. Take both of your flocks and your herds as you said, and get out of here, but bless me too. The Egyptians pressed to send the people out of the land quickly, because they said, Otherwise we'll all be dead. The people took their dough before it and became leavened and wrapped their kneading bowls in their clothes on their shoulders. The people of Israel had done what Moshe had said. They had asked the Egyptians to give them silver and gold jewelry and clothing, and Yehovah had made the Egyptians so favorably disposed towards the people that they had let them have whatever they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. The people of Israel traveled from Ramesses to Succoth, some 600,000 men on foot, not counting children. A mixed crowd also went up with them, as well as livestock in large numbers, both flocks and herds. They made matzah loaves from the dough they had brought out of Egypt, since it was unleavened, because they had been driven out of Egypt without time to prepare supplies for themselves. The time the people of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of the 430 years to the day, all the divisions of Yehovah left the land of Egypt. This was a night when Yehovah kept vigil to bring them out of the land of Egypt. And this same night continues to be a night when Yehovah keeps vigil for all the people of Israel through all their generations. Yehovah said to Moshe and Aharon, This is the regulation for Pesach lamb. No foreigner is to eat it, but if anyone has a slave he bought for money, when you have circumcised him, he may eat it. Neither a traveler nor a hired servant may eat it. It is to be eaten in one house. You are not to take any of the meat outside the house, and you are not to break any of its bones. The whole community of Israel is to keep it. If a foreigner staying with you wants to observe Yehovah's Peshach, all his males must be circumcised. Then he may take part and observe it. He will be like a citizen of the land, but no uncircumcised person is to eat it. The same teaching is to apply equally to the citizen and to the foreigner living among you. All the people of Israel did just as Yehovah had ordered Moshe and Aharon. On that day, very day, Yehovah brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their divisions.
Yehovah said to Moshe, "Set aside for me all the firstborn, whatever is first from the womb among the people of Israel. Both humans and animals belong to me." Moshe said to the people, "Remember this day on which you left Egypt, the abode of slavery. Because Yehovah, by the strength of his hand, had brought you out of this place. Do not eat hametz. You are leaving today in the month of Avin. When Yehovah brings you into the land of Canaan, Hitti, Arami, Yerisi and Yevus, which he swore to your ancestors to give the land flowing with the milk and the honey. You are to observe his ceremony in this month for seven days. You are to eat matzah, and the seventh day is to be a festival for Yehovah. Matzah is to be eaten all throughout the 7 days. Yehovah Hamet is to be neither Hamet nor leaving the agent, leavening agents are to be seen with you throughout your territory. On that day you are to tell your son, "It is because of what Yehovah did for me when I left Egypt. Moreover, it will serve you as a sign on your hand and as a reminder between your eyes, so Yehovah's Torah may be on your lips, because with a strong hand Yehovah brought you out of Egypt. Therefore, you are to observe his regulations at a proper time of year after it. When Yehovah brings you into the land of Canaan, as he swore to you and you and your ancestors, and gives it to you, you are to set apart from Yehovah everything that is from the womb, and every firstborn male animal will belong to Yehovah. Every firstborn donkey you are to redeem with a lamb, but if you chose not to redeem it, you must break its neck. But from people you are to redeem every firstborn son."
When at some time your son asks you, "What is this?" and say to him, "With a strong hand you have brought us out of Egypt, out of the abode of slavery, when Pharaoh was unwilling to let us go. You have killed all the firstborn males in the land of Egypt, both firstborn of human and firstborn of animals. That is why I sacrifice to Jehovah any male that is first from the womb of the animal, but all firstborn of my sons I redeem. This will serve as a sign on your hand and in the front of your forehead and around your forehead that with a strong hand Yehovah brought us out of Egypt. Haftarah, Yirmiyahu. This word Yehovah spoke to Yirmiyahu the prophet concerning the word of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babel, would it come and attack the land of Egypt. Proclaim in Egypt, announce in Migdol, announce in Noph and Tachpanes. Say, take your stand, get ready, for all around you the sword is destroying. Why has your strong one been overthrown? He failed to stand because Yehovah pushed him down. He caused many to trip. Yes, they fell over each other. Then they said, let's get up. Let's return to our own people, back to the land where we were born, away from the sword that destroys. They cried there, Paro, king of Egypt, makes noise, but he lets the right time for action slip by. As I live, says the king, whose name is Yehovah Zebaot, when he comes, he will be as mighty as Tavor among the mountains, as Carmel next to the sea. Daughter living in Egypt, prepare what you need for exile, for Noph will become a ruin, laid waste without inhabitants. Egypt is a beautiful female calf, but a horsefly from the north has come to attack her. Her mercenaries, too, that she had with her, will be like well-fed calves in a stable. But they, too, have withdrawn in retreat. They all ran away without standing the ground, for their day of disaster has come over them, the day for them to be punished. Egypt hisses like a snake as the enemy's army marches ahead, attacking her with their axes like lumbermen, chopping trees. They cut down her forests, says Yehovah, for they cannot be numbered. Yes, there are more of them than locusts, far too many to count. The daughter of Egypt is put to shame, handed over to the people from the north. Yehovah Zebaot, the Elohim of Israel, says, I will punish Ammon from No, Paro and Egypt with their gods and kings. That is Pharaoh and those who trust in him. I will hand him over to those who seek their lives, to Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babel, and to his servants. But afterwards Egypt will be inhabited, as in the past, says Yehovah. Yet don't be afraid, Yaakov, my servant. Don't be distressed, Israel. For I will save you from faraway places, and your offspring from the lands where they are held captive. Yaakov will return and be at peace, quiet, with no one to make him afraid. Don't be afraid, Yaakov, my servant, says Yehovah, for I am with you. I will finish off all the nations where I have scattered you. However, you I will not finish off. I will discipline you as you deserve, but not completely destroy you. Ketav Hashalakim Bo, Luke 2:22-24. When the days of their purification were fulfilled, according to the Torah of Moshe, they took him up to Yerushalayim to present him before their master Yehovah. According to what was written in the Torah of the master Yehovah, that every male who opens a womb will be set apart, one of master Yehovah. And as a sacrifice, it is said that the Torah of master Yehovah to give a pair of turtle doves or two chicks of pigeons. Yochanan 19:31-33. And the Yehudians, because it was the evening, said, these bodies should not remain on the stakes because the Shabbat is dawning. For it is high day and the day of Shabbat that they entreated from Pilatus, or Pilate, that they might break the legs of those who were nailed to the stake and take them down. And the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and those of the other who was on the stake beside him. And when they came to Yeshua, they saw that he was dead already, and they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers struck his side with a spear, and blood and water immediately came out. And the one who saw it has testified, and his witness is true, and he knows the truth. He spoke that you also may believe. For these things happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, that is said, not a bone of him will be broken. And again another scripture says, they will gaze on him whom they pierced. Acts 13:16-17. And Shaul stood and waved his hand and said, men, the sons of Israel and those who fear Elohim, hear. The Elohim of his people chose our forefathers and exalted and magnified them whilst they were sojourners in the land of the Mitzrayim. and with a high arm he brought them out from it. Have you got the first one? Yeah.
Revelation 8, 6, 9 to 12. And seven angels or messengers who had the seven shofars prepared themselves to sound. The first sounded, there was hail and fire, which were mingled with water. These were thrown upon the earth, and a third part of the earth was burned up. A third part of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned. And the second sounded, and it was a great mountain burning with fire, that was cast into the sea, and also a third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of all the creatures in the sea that had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. And a third sounded, and there fell from heaven a star, burning like a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the mountains of water. And the name of the star was called Absinthian, and a third part of the water became absinthe, or bitter. And many people died because the water was made toxic. And the fourth sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten or devoured, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so that the third part of them were dark, and they became dark. And they did not give light for the third part of it, and night like manna. And I saw and heard an eagle, which flew in the midst, and it had a tail of blood, while it said with a loud voice, Woe, woe to... And the fifth sounded, and I saw a star which fell down from heaven upon the earth. And there was given to them the key of the pit of the abyss. And he opened the pit of the abyss, and smoke issued from the pit, like the smoke of a furnace that is in a blast. And the sun and the air was darkened by the smoke of the pit. And out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power was given to them, like that which scorpions have on the earth. And it was commanded them that they should not harm the grass of the earth, nor any herb, nor any tree, but only the persons who have not have the seal of Elohim upon their foreheads. And that was given to them, they should not kill them, but they should torment them for 5 months. And their torment was like something, the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a person. And in those days men will desire death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will fly from them. And the appearance of the locusts was this. They were like the appearance of horses prepared for battle. On their heads was, as it were, a crown, resembling gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. And they had hair like the hair of women, and their teeth were like those of a lion. And they had breastplates like the breastplate of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of the chariots of many horses rushing into battle. And they had tails like those of scorpions and stings, and with their tails they had the power of hurting men for 5 months. They had as a king over them the angel of the abyss, and in the name of Hebrew is Avadu, and in the Aramaic it is named Shara. One woe is gone. Behold, two woes are coming.
Revelation 16:1-21. I heard a loud voice from the sanctuary saying to the seven angels, Go and pour out on earth the seven bowls of Elohim's fury. So the first one went out and poured his bottle onto the earth, and disgusting and painful sores appeared on all the people who had the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vessel into the sea, and the sea became as dead, and every living animal in the sea died. And the third one poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they turned to blood. Then I heard the angel of the waters say, O HaKadosh, the one who is and who was, you are just in these judgments of yours. They pour out the blood of your people and your prophets, so you have made them drink blood. They deserve it. And I heard the altar say, Yes, Jehovah Elohim of the heavenly armies, your judgments are true and just. The fourth one poured out his bowl on the sun and submitted to burn people with fire. People were burned by the intense heat, yet they cursed the name of Elohim, who had the authority over these plagues, instead of turning from their sins to give him glory. The fifth one poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom grew dark. People gnawed on their tongues from their pain, and they cursed the Elohim of the heavens because of their pain and sores, but did not turn from their sinful evil deeds. The sixth one poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water dried up in order to prepare the way for the kings from the east. And I saw three unclean spirits that looked like frogs. They came out from the mouth of the dragon, from the mouth of the beast, and from the mouth of the false prophet. They are the miracle-working demonic spirits which go out to the kings of the whole inhabited world to assemble them for war of the great day of Jehovah Zevaot. Look, I am coming like a thief. How blessed are they who stay alert and keep their clothes clean, so that they won't be walking naked and be publicly put to shame. And they gather the kings in a place in Hebrew which is called Har Megiddo. The seventh one poured out his bowl in the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." There were flashes of lightning, voices and peals of thunder, and there was a massive earthquake, and such as never occurred since mankind had been on earth. So violent was the earthquake, the great city was split in three parts, the cities of the nations fell. Elohim remembered Babel the Great, and made her drink the wine from the cup of his raging fury. Every island fled, and no mountains were found, and huge 70-pound hailstones fell on the people from the sky. But the people cursed Elohim for the plague of hail, that it was such a terrible plague.
Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech ha'olam, asher netanenu Torah emet v'chayal abdikenu. Baruch atah Yehovah natein ha'Torah, b'shem Yeshua Mashikenu ha'ol la'olam. Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the Universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. That's not one of the most uplifting parashas that we have read, with so much torment going on in that, whether it's in Egypt or whether it was in Babel or whether it was in what is to come. But I know that we're in a plague at the moment, but it's nothing like what they went through. So let us pray for Yehovah's word. Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you for the word you've given me today, and I pray that you'll open our eyes so that we can see the wondrous things from your Torah. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, because you, Yehovah, are my rock and my redeemer. And I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Today I want to speak on the anointing of Yehovah. The anointing is really important for every person who is in the kingdom of Yehovah. And I'm taking it from Shemot Exodus chapter 10 verses 24 to 26. So if we can have that up, please. There it is. Next slide. That's it. In Shemot Exodus it says, Paro summoned Moshe and said, "Go worship Yehovah, only leave your flocks and herds behind. Your children may go with you." And Moshe answered, "You must also see to it that we have sacrifices and burnt offerings, so that we can sacrifice to Yehovah our Elohim. Our livestock will also go with us. Not a hoof will be left behind, because we must choose from some of them to worship Yehovah our Elohim, and we don't know which ones we will need to worship Yehovah until we get there." So, to me, the key point of that is that Yehovah makes all the difference in how we serve him. And to serve him fully, we have to be anointed. We need anointing for healing. We need anointing for preaching or teaching. We need an anointing for praying. We need anointing with dealing for people within the assembly. We have to have Yehovah's, and ministers have to have Yehovah's anointing on them, because before they can minister to the people. Before anyone goes into ministry, as I've said many times, if you're not anointed, you will burn out. And the people, all those within the room, all those watching online, all need the anointing for the people that you come in contact with and minister to as well. Anointing is having a divine, miraculous power of authority in the Ruach HaKodesh, or Holy Spirit, to do the work of Yehovah. This is something that can't be bought, it can't be taken, it can't be appointed by men, even though some expect that to happen. It can only be given by Yehovah through the Ruach HaKodesh. Yehovah does not look for our ability. He only looks for our availability. Nobody on the ministry team of Beit Gan Eden is given a role because they have said, I have a ministry in this and I need to do this. Or I have a ministry in that and can I do that? Their role is only recognized after they have proven themselves to be operating in their ministry gifts over time, and then they are appointed to the role if the board of BGEMC recognises these gifts. The anointing is costly and does have a heavy price, and it's usually paid for before the anointing comes. Many people desire to do great exploits and miracles in Yah, but never pass the tests. Hence, the anointing never comes on their lives. Anointing oil is a necessary tool to have in your arsenal. I carry some in my handbag at all times. One never knows when it will be needed. The scriptures teach us on using anointing oil, one, for consecration, two, anointing prophets and kings, showing it being poured out on the individual's head, praying for the sick, and the Ketuvah HaShelekim, or the New Testament, tells us the Ruach HaKodesh is the one that gives the anointing. It can't be given by man, and it is never, should never be given by man. As most of you know, I'm neurologically different from the norm, or non-neurotypical. I was always known as the introvert, and was very highly strung. An upfront ministry or anything else was never ever my desire. I was always content to act behind the scenes and blessed with a few gifts from the Ruach HaKodesh, such as healing, discernment and prayer. And I've always had a very strong gift of faith from a very young age. I made a commitment to Yehovah and to Yeshua HaMashiach over 70 years ago, and I have read the word every day of my life ever since, and I've never deviated from it. I have believed from a very early age that even if I couldn't tithe money, I could tithe time. And that was something that was very important to me, was making sure I spent an hour to 2 hours with Yah every morning of my life. How I got into the ministry was having a boldness to pray for someone when they needed healing. It was always one-on-one, and that was easy for me. I would do hospital visits representing the church I was in at the time. I would even go to ICU in the hospitals and pray for people when all their organs had shut down, and pray for them daily, placing scriptures of hope and encouragement over their heads and over their bed, not stopping until Yah told me to. And I would stay up all night praying for them. Yes, they did recover. And I was doing this even when I was working full time. And then I'd go back visiting the same hospital, and they would say to me, when are you coming to pray for more patients in our ICU? We need you. But none of my people were in ICU, so I didn't pray for them. The anointing changes your personality, but you have to be prepared to allow the Ruach HaKodesh to change you. Once you have received the anointing, you are never the same. An evangelist's anointing is totally different to another's anointing. The evangelist has a boldness to bring someone they have never met before to the faith. Then they leave the cleaning process to somebody else. This is one of the reasons Minister Maliki and I work so well together, is he's the evangelist in the family. He catches the fish, then gives them to me to clean them through counselling and nurture. When Yehovah calls us, are we truly prepared to follow his calling? Moshe certainly wasn't ready, as he had excuses as to why he couldn't do it. It starts off in Shemot Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11, when Moshe said to Yehovah, "Who am I that I should go to Paro and lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" Moshe was a bit like me. He had an identity problem. I always used to think mine was because I was the second born of twins. My twin sister was the extrovert, and the two of us were known by the children next door as Jackie and More Jackie. We looked alike, but I never said a word, and she did all the talking. I was so quiet and non-verbal, they didn't even know my name. In Shemot Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1, Moshe replied, "But I'm certain they won't believe me. They won't listen to what I say, because they'll say Yehovah did not appear to me." Once again, it sounds like my former self. With low esteem of himself, he had absolutely no confidence in doing what Yah was asking him to do. And in chapter 4 of Moshe, of Shemot 4 and verse 10, Moshe says to Yehovah, "O Yehovah, I'm a terrible speaker. I always have been. I'm no better now, even after you've spoken to your servant." Once again, it sounded like me. Being the introvert, the words never came out right. I felt a lack of skill. I know the feeling. I could never put two words together correctly. Always feeling insecure and agitated. And the words that came out were not the words that I meant to come out. Then Yah asked me to start Beit Gan Eden. So I also said to him, "I cannot speak in front of people. I can't do it." And his reply was, "I will supply the words." In 23 years, he's never let me down. The same applied to Moshe. Yah gives him all the instructions and the help he will need to fulfill what Yehovah has asked him. If you want to go in ministry, Yah will fill you with the words that you need if he asks you to do something. In Shemot, Exodus chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, "Now take this staff in your hand, because you need it to perform the signs." And in verse 21 of the same chapter, Yehovah said to Moshe, "When you get back to Egypt, make sure you do before Paro every one of the wonders I have enabled you to do. Nevertheless, I'm going to make him hard-hearted and he will refuse to let the people go." Moshe was warned. He's going to have trouble with Paro. Not only was Moshe going to speak to the Hebrews, now Yah is telling him he has to speak to Paro, or the king and ruler of the land. That certainly would have been daunting for him. I know it would have made me want to run the opposite direction. Then Yah warns him, "It will not be easy to get your message across to Paro," as he goes on to say, "Nevertheless, I'm going to make him hard-hearted and he will refuse to let the people go." Then we moved into Shemot, Exodus chapter 7, verse 3. It says, "Well, I will make him hard-hearted, even though I will increase my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt." And in chapter 9 and verse 16 of Shemot, "But it is for this very reason that I have kept you alive, to show you my power, so that my name may resound throughout the whole earth." This is the reason Yehovah will keep us alive during this pandemic, because he wants to use us. It's a time of salvation. That to me is a very strange thing to say. Moshe was only out of Egypt for 40 years. 40 years in biblical terms is a generation. Obviously Moshe, who was saved from being killed as other Hebrew boys were at birth, raised by Paro's daughter, then surely Paro would have recognized him and even welcomed him back as a long-lost half-brother or cousin, as this is not how, because of the Paro that was in power 40 years later. But this is not how history records the events. So let us look at today's reading. Yehovah said to Moshe in chapter 10, verse 1, "Go to Paro, for I have made him and his servants hard-hearted, so that I can demonstrate these signs of mine among them." And in chapter 11, verse 9, we read, Yehovah said to Moshe, "Paro will not listen to you, so that still more of my wonders will be shown in the land of Egypt." It had to happen this way. If it didn't, the miracles of Yehovah could be shown to every Egyptian on the day and be recorded in history for all of his awesome power. And I'm sure you have all experienced what is called spiritual dryness. Have you ever prayed and never had your prayer answered? Have you never had a revelation and nothing you do for Yah goes as planned? Let us look at Moshe and how he was called to the ministry. In chapter 3 and verse 1, Moshe was tending the sheep of Yitro, his father-in-law. Yitro was the priest of Midian, obviously not known, not of Yehovah. Leading the flock to the far side of the desert, he came to the mountain of Yehovah at Horeb. He came to the far side of the desert, according to the scripture. A man or woman without the anointing of Yehovah was leading sheep to a dry place. Sometimes we can feel like we're leading sheep to a dry place. There was no water, no food, no anointing. It was like being in a dry synagogue with a dry spirit or no anointing of the Ruach HaKodesh. Then Moshe came to the mountain of Yehovah. There he found the fresh drink of the Ruach HaKodesh, or Holy Spirit. In Shemot chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "The angel of Yehovah appeared to him in a fire blazing from the middle of a bush. He looked and saw that although the bush was flaming with fire, yet the bush was not being burned up." And I spoke about this bush last time I spoke, a couple of weeks ago. When Yah puts his anointing on you, you will not burn up, and neither will your anointing dry out, because it is Yehovah who has anointed you through his Ruach HaKodesh. Yehovah will deliver. It says in Shemot chapter 3 and verse 7, Yehovah said, "I have seen how my people are being oppressed in Egypt and heard their cry for release from their slave masters, because I know their pain." This is no different to what we're going through here and globally today. Yah sees all. Yah knows all. And I keep saying, Yah knows the end from the beginning. We only know where we're up to this date. But Yah knows how it's going to end. Yah has seen how oppressed we all are in our daily life, being locked out of normal living, having to wear muzzles as face coverings, and mandating things that we have not agreed to. Yah knows what is happening with you and your situation. Yah heard their cry. You need to cry out to Yehovah with a passion. If you need to be heard, you've got to cry out to him. But you have to put your meaning into your requests of your situation. Be specific. Make sure you list the situation. Don't say, "Yah, I want healing." No, I need healing from this fever. I need healing from lack of smell or taste. I need healing from whatever it is. Whatever it is that you need healing for, you've got to be specific. If you're not specific, Yah can't understand, won't heal you. Don't just pray for a job. Pray for a good paying job where your specialties will be celebrated. Not just any job. Yah will provide that job. then before you see them in the natural, start thanking Yah. And thanking him for them as he sees them in the spiritual, and he's preparing them for you in the spiritual, you start thanking him for them because he's already preparing them. And three, he says, I know their pain. He is a personal Yehovah that cares. He knows your pain. Sometimes we have to go through it so that we put our trust in him and not on mankind for our circumstances to improve. It is a test. The whole situation where we're living at this time is a test. Testing our faith. Will we cave or will we hold firm? He goes on to say in chapter 8 of chapter 3 and verse 8, I came down to rescue them from the Egyptians and to bring them out of that country to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amori, the Perizzi, the Hivi, and the Yevusi. We are not in slavery yet, but we certainly are in bondage. Yehovah will save you, and he will help you. In chapter 3 and verse 12 he says, he replied, I will surely be with you. Yehovah will surely be with you. Your sign that I have sent you will be that you have led the people out of Egypt. You will worship Yehovah on this mountain. The place where Moshe was a dry shepherd but will return as an anointed leader, that is where the Torah and the 10 words were given once he rescued the Hebrews out of Mitzrayim, or Egypt. I'm sure that wasn't coincidental. I'm really sure, because he said, you will return. In Yochanan Aleph, or 1 John 2:27, it says, as for you, the messianic anointing you received from the Father remains in you, so that you will have no need for anyone to teach you. On the contrary, as his messianic anointing continues to teach you about all things and is true, not a counterfeit, so just as he taught you, remain united with him. As long as we remain united with Yehovah through Yeshua HaMashiach and receive the anointing of the Ruach HaKodesh, he will lead us into all truth. There is proof of that in our lives today, through the personal decisions we make for our life and the lives of our children at this time. We are going through testing, but we will be found worthy in the end. I love the way how Yah speaks to me so that there is no fear in what is coming. He showed me very early in 2020 that this was a plandemic, not a pandemic. Last week he showed me that I would not be able to visit my doctor but have a Zoom consultation because of the mandates. This week my doctor sent out an email to all patients that she would not be reopening after Christmas and all consultations will be held over Zoom. He pre-warns me so that I can be prepared for that and that matter, and be prepared and for that matter help prepare you. We have to wait and be prepared to have things change. But we shouldn't fear the change. We shouldn't get upset about the change, because Yah will find a way. In Yaakov or James chapter 5 and verse 14 it says, Is someone among you ill? He shall call for the elders of the congregation. They will pray for him and rub olive oil on him in the name of Yehovah. I'm begging you, and I mean this, I'm begging you, please contact me or anyone who is part of our ministry team that you feel comfortable with to pray for your healing if you are not well, or pray for your situation, no matter what it is, if you need prayer. We cannot pray for you if we haven't been told. Yes, sometimes Yah will lay someone on our heart so that we start praying for them, or I will ring them up to see if everything's okay. But we cannot guarantee your healing or whatever it is that you need fixed if you do not contact us so that we can pray. We do have people of our congregation who have this Omicron variant. My phone number is in the newsletter, and we can let the prayer team know your needs, and the whole prayer team can pray for you. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, it says, "But you, when you fast, wash your face and groom yourself, so that no one will know you are fasting except your Father who is with you in secret. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." I'm a firm believer in fasting for specific reasons. I don't believe in fasting for fasting's sake because somebody told you to fast. But if Yah tells you to fast, the Ruach HaKodesh tells you to fast, definitely fast. Fasting brings and strengthens faith. I know it because I've done it many times, not just for myself, but fasted for the healings of others to get the breakthrough. I personally did a 6-week fast of special teas and special vegetable juices that was made in Switzerland but brought off the shelf at Flannery's for healing of cancer in 2005. I also worked full-time during the fast. Nobody knew I was fasting except that I was losing weight. I will never, ever ask anyone to do anything that I have not done myself and seen Yah's miraculous hand at work. Fasting can bring a breakthrough, as even Yeshua said in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, "This kind does not come out except through prayer and fasting." In Messianic Jews Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, "You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, O Elohim Zevaot has anointed you with the oil of joy in preference to your companions." In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, "Moreover, it is Elohim who sets both us and you in firm union with the Messiah. He has anointed us, ordained us as believers." In Luke 7:46, "You didn't put oil on my head, but this woman poured perfume on my feet." This is the anointing of humility. As it says in Mishlei or Proverbs, tells us, a person must be humbled before they can be honoured. And in Mark 6, verse 13, "They expelled many demons and they anointed many sick people with oil and healed them." This is where the signs follow the anointing and prove the anointing. "The Ruach of Yehovah is upon me," in Luke 4:18. "Therefore he has anointed me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom of the imprisoned and renewed sight for the blind, to release those who have been crushed." This scripture is fulfilling the prophecy of Yeshayahu, or Isaiah, of the coming Messiah. It was saying this scripture that the fire of the Ruach HaKodesh fell upon Yeshua for ministry, but it's also where he was forever rejected by the people of Nazareth. He was never recognized as a prophet or the Messiah in his own hometown. It's like the proverb says, familiarity breeds contempt. He was too familiar to them, and they couldn't accept him. But the anointing can rest on you. In Shemot Exodus chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, "I will take you as my people, and I will be your Elohim. Then you will know that I am Yehovah your Elohim, who freed you from the forced labor of the Egyptians." And in verse 9, Moshe said this to the people of Israel, but they wouldn't listen to him because they were so discouraged and their slavery was so cruel. Many of us can be so discouraged. We are not in slavery yet.
even though our Premier would like us to be. Many are certainly discouraged with loss of jobs, loss of income, not knowing what will happen to our children if we send them into the school system this year with the current mandates. Being locked out of what is normal, the ability to go to restaurants and cafes, the theatre or the cinema, which is the current situation for some people today. This is bondage or slavery to a point, never before experienced in my lifetime. Mind you, if I was born in Russia where my father was born during the Second World War, I wouldn't be standing here today. He wasn't born during the Second World War, I was. He was born during the First World War. Let us take a quick look at whom Yehovah has anointed in history. Noah was anointed when he built the ark. Moshe was anointed when he preached to Pharaoh. Abraham was anointed ever since he left his hometown. Eliyahu or Elijah was anointed when he called fire from heaven. Jochanan the Immerser was anointed when he preached repentance. Yeshayahu Uzziah had the anointing of boldness when he preached to kings. Kepha or Peter was anointed when he preached on the day of Shavuot. Shaul Paul was anointed when spreading the gospel. The apostles were anointed with signs following them. Adonai Yeshua was anointed all the way till Golgotha, through the resurrection to the outpouring of the Ruach HaKodesh on the Messianic community. So I want to look now at the keys to the anointing. In Mark 3 verses 14 to 15, it says he appointed, that's Yeshua appointed, 12 to be with him, to be sent out to preach and to have authority to expel demons. Yeshua appointed his 12 Talmudim and anointed them. But how did they do it? Here are seven steps that will help you. 1. Remove and confess any hidden sin that is in your heart. 2. Prayer and fasting. 3. Study Yehovah's word on disciplined basis. 4. Attend synagogue or shul. That is a place of assembly. It's also known as a Beit Knesset. Knesset is the word for assembly, a house of assembly, on a regular basis. Evangelizing the lost, if that is your gifting. Stay active in your ministry, whatever it may be. And have a sincere love for your brothers and sisters in Yeshua. And there is a mathematical formula for anointing. Anointing in your life gives anointing to your family. That gives anointing to the Messianic community, which in turn brings apostolic revival for our services. I believe in 2022 is going to bring us growth as far more people are being drawn to Yah with a conviction to follow the Torah, which is a revelation that was missing in their lives. Many people believe that if you follow Yeshua and worship on the Sunday, which worships the sun god, Zeus, changed by the Romans way back in the 3rd or 4th century, that they are following the correct way. Yeshua observed the Sabbath, the Shabbat. Yeshua always worshipped on the Shabbat. Yeshua kept the festivals, but according to the scripture, not according to man-made tradition. And I believe that more and more believers are going to come back to the true word of Yah and disregard the traditions of man. And I think that whether it's this plague that we're going through at the moment or what, it is going to bring people closer to Yah, and they're going to serve him in spirit and in truth. And they can only do that by observing Torah. In Acts 4 and verse 4 it says, "However, many of those who heard the message trusted The number of men alone was about 5,000. We know that was at Shavuot. And in verse 14 of the same chapter, and throngs of believers were added to the Lord, both men and women. They then went on to always worship on Shabbat. So the word of Yehovah continued to spread. The number of Talmudim in Yerushalayim increased rapidly, and a large crowd of Kohanim, or priests, were becoming obedient to the faith. In Acts 11 and verse 21, it says, the hand of Yehovah was with them, and a great number of people trusted and turned to El Adonai. That is our Lord God. In Acts 12 and verse 24, but the word of Yehovah went on growing and being multiplied. Acts 16:5, accordingly the congregations were strengthened in faith and increased in number day by day. Acts 19 and verse 20, thus the message of El Adonai continued in a powerful way to grow in influence. Yeshua chose 12 ordinary men. He taught them, then he anointed them with the Ruach HaKodesh. It was these 12 that turned the world upside down. The key point to that, to me, is that it's time now for us to turn the world upside down. There could never be a better time than this when so many people are in turmoil. Yehovah chooses the humble, the lowly, the meek, and the weak. Yehovah's favourite instruments are the nobodies of this world, so that no man can boast before Yehovah. Let us look at these 12 Talmudim. One, they lacked spiritual understanding. Yeshua kept teaching and preaching to them. Even after his resurrection for 40 days, he was speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of Yehovah. They lacked humility. Yeshua became a servant and washed their feet, and Kepha tried to refuse this servant action. They lacked faith. Four times in Matityahu, it says, O you of little faith. And Yeshua just kept performing miracles in front of them. They lacked commitment. They were fine, but when the crowd was cheering and miracles happened, but when they arrested Yeshua, they were gone. Yeshua had to pray for them in Yochanan 17 to stay faithful. They lacked power. Yeshua poured out the Ruach HaKodesh on them on the day of Shavuot or Pentecost. Have we got the picture? They are 12 ordinary men, all with frailties that each and every one of us have. But Yeshua trusted them and he used them. In Matityahu chapter 10 verse 1 it says, Yeshua called his 12 Talmudim and gave them authority to drive out unclean spirits and to heal every kind of disease and weakness. And further down in verse 8 it says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those afflicted with Zara'at, expel demons. You have received without payment, so give without asking payment. This is the very verse that told me when we started Beit Gan Eden that we were not to receive any monetary salary from it. Running costs were acceptable, but an offering was to be for the orphan, the widow, and the downtrodden. Therefore, every person in ministry or speaking from this pulpit is a volunteer. Everyone supports themselves financially. Minister Malachi in his 70s is still running his own business today with the help of the age pension. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 7, Yeshua summoned the 12 and started sending them out in pairs, giving them authority over the unclean spirits. This is why you will find most of our ministry team as couples. When you are operating in your gifts and ministering to the lost, you will be attacked spiritually and physically by the evil one.
This is why it's always safer in pairs, so that you have protection and another to pray for you when needed. In Mark 16 and verse 17, it says, "These signs of miracles will accompany those who do trust. In my name they will drive out demons, speak with new tongues." And in verse 18, "Not be injured if they handle snakes or drink poison, and heal the sick by laying on hands on them." And in Luke 10:19, "Remember, I have given you authority so you can trample down snakes and scorpions, indeed all the enemy's forces, and you will remain completely unharmed." I believe the anointing is at the door. From our reading today in Shemot chapter 10 and verse 3, Moshe and Aharon went into Paro and said to him, "Here is what Yehovah Elohim of the Hebrews says. How much longer will you refuse to submit to me? Let my people go so that you can worship me." In Malachim Aleph, or 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 21, Eliyahu stepped forward before all the people and said, "How long are you going to jump back and forth between two positions? If Yehovah is Elohim, follow him. If it's Baal, follow him." And the people answered him not a word. And in Shemot 8, chapter 8, verse 23, "Yes, I will distinguish my people and your people, and this sign will happen tomorrow." There is already a mark that can distinguish between those who follow Yah and those who don't. We have to show ours before we can enter many places, just as we had just to live as we did before COVID-19 in our local community to this day. Do you have the tick of approval, or are you rejected? In Shemot chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, "The following day Yehovah did it. All the livestock of Egypt died. Not one of the animals belonging to the people of Israel died." Which one? The one with the tick, or the one without the tick? Shemot 9 and verse 26. "But in the land of Goshen, where the people of Israel were, there was no hail. They were separated. They were rescued." Shemot 10 and verse 23. "The people couldn't see each other, and no one went anywhere for 3 days. But all the people of Israel had light in their homes." Is the light shining in your home today? Does the Ruach HaKodesh fill your home with light? In Shemot 11 and verse 17, "Not even a dog's growl will be heard against any of the people of Israel, neither against people nor against animals. In this way you will realize that Adonai distinguishes between Egyptians and Israel." And in verse 3 of Shemot 11, "Yehovah made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people. Moreover, Moshe was regarded by Paro's servants and the people as a great man in the land of Egypt." Yehovah shows favor to those who love him, who are called according to his word and do not add or subtract from it. He will honor this in our lives. Nothing is too hard for him to achieve. He has proved it in scripture so many times over. He can bring water out of a rock. He can make a donkey talk. He can give double portion of the Ruach. He can knock down the walls of Jericho. He can make the sun stand still until a battle is won. He can wipe out the Philistine with a jawbone. He can deliver 3 men in a fiery furnace. He can turn water into wine. He can walk on water. He can fill empty nets with fish. He can feed a multitude. He can go to a stake, but the nails would not hold him. He can go to a grave, but the stone could not contain him. That's the anointed Elohim that we serve. There were not just Hebrews who were saved from Yehovah's wrath, but all who believed, Hebrews and Egyptians alike. I'm going to finish with these last scriptures to give you confidence in your own personal decisions at this time. In Shemot chapter 9 and verse 21, Whoever among Paro's servants feared what Yehovah had said had his slaves and his livestock escape into the houses. And those who had no regard for what Yehovah had said left their slaves and livestock in the field. Yehovah saves all those regardless of race, regardless of who they are, but are prepared to follow him. It does cost. We sometimes have to let go of people, even family, who do not want to travel on his path. But as one of Yehovah's mightily men, mightily anointed men of faith, Yehoshua said in Yehoshua 24:15, "And any visitor that visits my house and stays in my guest room that has a stairway leading up to heaven, as you open the door, emblazoned on the door, I call it my upper room. In this room is a plaque." And it says, this verse, "If it seems bad to you to serve Yehovah, then choose today whom you are going to serve. Will it be the gods of your ancestors, served beyond the river, or the gods of the Emory in whose land you are living? As for me and my household, we will serve Yehovah. As for me and my household, we will serve Yehovah." Can I hear an amen to that?
Amen.
That's my message today. If anyone's got any questions, we'll go into the remembrance service. All okay with that? "Hear, the days are coming, says Yehovah, when I'll make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they for their part violated my covenant, even though I for my part was a husband to them, says Yehovah. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yehovah. I'll put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people. See, Elohim is my salvation. I am confident and unafraid, for Yah Yehovah is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." Baruch atah Yehovah, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, ha'motzeh lakem me'in ha'aretz. Amen. The cup of deliverance I raise in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Hakol Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Berei Pri Hagafen. Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Berei Mini Besameim. As you know, we don't take up an offering, but there is an offering box down the back there if you'd like to bring an offering to help our ministry and also help us with the orphans in Myanmar. Girls, do you want to come? Can you take this?
I'll take this.
Okay. You're right.
Thanks. Do you have this one, Sean? You can take enough.
Yeah,
how much do you want, mate? Take as much as you want, because I'm going to give the rest to your mum. Father, we thank you and praise you. And we thank you that you are with us, that you anoint us. And we thank you that you purposed each and every one of us for such a time as this. Abba, we give you the glory for sending your Son Yeshua to lay down his life for us, to show us how to use our anointing, to prove that he anoints us, by sending his Ruach HaKodesh. And we just thank you that he went all the way to Golgotha, laid down his life and had his body broken and his blood shed, so that we could have eternal life, so that we could be anointed with the Ruach HaKodesh, and we can live our life according to your Torah. Abba, we take these emblems now in remembrance of everything that Yeshua has done for us, and give you the glory for releasing him to do it. In Yeshua's name, let us eat and drink together. You ready, honey? Malachi? Malachi will now come and say the Aaronic blessing in Hebrew. I'll repeat it in English. Right?
I think so. Yes, right. We're away. Yevarekka, Yehovah, Yishmereka, Ye'er Yehovah, Panavaleka, Ve'ekuneka, Yisar Yehovah, Panavaleka, Ve'asamaka, Shalom.
May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yehovah lift up his face towards you and give you peace.
Amen.
Our Abba and Elohim of our fathers, we thank you for the joy and rest which we are enjoying on this Shabbat day. May the coming week bring gladness and peace, health and achievement. And like the fragrance of the Besamim, we pray the days ahead bring sweetness to our lives and the lives of our loved ones. May the peace which we are enjoying this day linger until we gather for Shabbat next week, or as we meet through live stream next week. In Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Amen.
And now the one who can keep you from falling and set you without defect and full of joy in the presence of his Shekinah, to Yehovah alone, our deliverer, through Yeshua the Messiah, our Adonai, be glory, majesty, power and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tamar. Great message. She always does a wonderful job. It takes most of Monday and then a sort of a polish up on a few other...
A couple of other days.
But wonderfully done. Thank you, mate. That was really good. Well, it'll be a change. We won't have to do the the full room set up, and I suppose doing it at home we might be able to do it upstairs and leave it sitting up there. That might work quite well. We'll see. Anyway, we'll see you all next week. Shavua Tov. Bless you all. Thank you for being with us.
Bless you and, all. Stay safe.
If you get a chance and you're going through, if you use the newsletter, the links and that, they're all live, but they're not actually live in the Scribd version. You need to download it and work on the PDF or open that up, and then at that point they're all live because there's a lot of valuable information in the newsletter, not just the printed text but the various links and things that you can go to. Okay.
Bless you all.
Shavua Tov. Bless you all.
Well, you're going to have some more. You can have some more juice. Should we just throw it out otherwise?
Oh.
Kids, if you only want more juice, go and have some, because otherwise it gets thrown out.
Goldstein still makes flooded loaves.
Yeah, there's one there. Do you want to take that one home?
Yeah.
There's one there. See it?
Shabbat.